Good morning, ladies. Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. This is Stu Weber at StuWeb.com, and it is November the 29th, 2020, Sunday. And I have the honor to have Dr. Lieutenant Army Intelligence Whistleblower Extraordinaire Scott Bennett, who worked in the same office building as Mr. Ed Snowden, who was imprisoned illegally, by the way, Scott, illegally, as a whistleblower for 3.5 months, which is bizarre. And whoever imprisoned him, I would love to go to the party whenever you're ready, Scott, to take care of business. Locking me up for 10.5 months, I didn't appreciate it as a whistleblower. I also have Professor Paul on. I have Jeff and Heidi on. And they're all prayer warriors. We're all prayer warriors. So today we're going to talk a little bit about that. Have some fun. But since Scott Bennett knows a little of what's really going on in the bigger picture, his attorney is Sidney Powell, folks. Same attorney as General Flint, who was a good friend of my friend, August Johnson. Good buddies. They knew each other. And General Flynn's been given a presidential pardon, which makes it where he can go back to work for the government if the president decides he wants that. Now, they removed him because I know what's happened. It would be a little bit of cleanup early on. It didn't happen. But I'll leave it at that. I'll bring Scott Bennett on. Scott, how are you doing?
I'm doing great, Stu. It's great to be with you, and great to be with your fellow panel members, and we are all fighting for the President of the United States, Donald J. Trump. We are winning. We are causing the deep state, CIA, Mossad, FBI, Department of Justice, Pentagon, intelligence community traitors who have committed treason under the United States Constitution to take to flight, to run away, to fall over themselves, to take chaos and confusion into their hearts. And God has given them darkness, and he's raising up a team of military and intelligence professionals, some of which are of the 305th Intelligence Battalion. I know many have heard the references to the Kraken. Others are psychological operations persons, including myself. Others include Patrick Berge, who was a 4th Psychological Operations soldier, who was the author and the creator of Shadowgate. Others include Tori, who is Tori Says on Twitter, and is a genius when it comes to cryptology and knows all where the dead bodies are buried. And many others who are very, very skilled in penetrating the networks, the Zoom calls, the information, universe of social media. And we have been just building essentially information artillery shells, Stu, and loading them into the appropriate systems of the president from all points on the compass. And we are preparing for that whistle to blow, and all of us go screaming over the edge like a band of naked, picted, blue warriors from Scotland in that film Braveheart, rushing to the field of battle against the deep state, half-wit, beta male, effeminate drones. And we're going to go smashing and hacking through them like you've never seen. So it's an exciting time to be in Washington.
And you were trained to do that. And I was trained to do that. Smash them up. But, hey, I think God will do it. He'll take care of business if we all do enough praying. But I'm with you if that day comes, Scott. And believe me, it's not only Washington. You got to get them in all the states. Get all public officials and arrest all public officials. We have the right to do that as citizens, to make public arrest. Yeah. Okay, you see some girl getting robbed in the parking lot, you stop it. They just made you the citizen's arrest. The cops come out, you throw them for them, you have to go testify. That's citizen's arrest. It's illegal, folks. And it's legal to arrest politicians for treason, sedition, whatever the crime they did, and half of them in this country. Everybody knows they've committed crimes. Go ahead, Scott.
Yeah. No, you're right. The most important thing is for prayer. People have been praying for this president. They need to pray all the more earnestly. God says that. If my people will pray and turn from their wicked ways, I'll heal their land. You know, we forget how cherished we are in our sight of our Heavenly Father. Now, he will destroy the idols that we've created and given too much attention to. Our God is a jealous God, and I think that's part of this period, this season of being sort of beaten like carpets and letting the dust of our idolatry come out of our being. And that's been the effect of this COVID-19 lockdown and shutdown. And you don't realize what you have until it's taken away. I don't think people realize what freedom is all about and what freedom of conscience and liberty and all of the good things are all about since they've been taken away from us. And this is the one chance that we have to regain our freedom, to grasp it, to rip it out of the hands of these thieves and traitors who've tried to steal it from us. We cannot allow that. We cannot give them authority. We cannot recognize their authority. They have no authority. The Constitution is our law book that was given to us by God, and our natural, unalienable rights that the Founding Fathers recognized were not given to us by government, but by God. The Constitution simply codifies that and affirms that and establishes that as the law of the land, that God has given people rights, unalienable rights. They can never be taken away. They can never be altered. They can never be suspended. They can never be licensed. Those rights are given by God to his creation, and government is instituted among men to protect those rights given by God to people, not giving them up or turn it into a franchise or claim ownership over those rights from God, from us, and distribute them when they see fit. We're not peasants. We're not inmates in a jail, and the deep state and the politicians are our jailers. We are a free and independent people, and we have to act as such, and this is the time for people to stand up, to have open and public rallies, on their street corners, in their town, in their neighborhoods, driving trucks with Trump flags, go proudly out into the public space and serve as a information warrior, as a loudspeaker, as a bellowing champion for truth. Let fellow human beings see you stand for something greater than yourself. This is not about America. This is about the whole spirit of truth and liberty. So get out and stand and let them see you standing, and you will serve as a beacon for those in the darkness that are looking for real leaders to follow, real examples of virtue and character and valor and courage. We have to be those leaders because this effeminate, beta male, cowardly mainstream media, bunch of drone people have totally destroyed the alpha male character in this country, or at least try to, and including preachers and pastors and priests in our institutions of worship. They have bastardized our churches and turned them into these quasi little government servant quarters. No, we have to completely turn upside down this American society to let the scum and the dross and the garbage and the falsity fall out of this country in order to turn it right side up and rediscover, have a renaissance and a revival to rediscover what we are as Americans. We're not Australians. We're not New Zealanders. We're not Englishmen. We're not Germans. We're not Italians or Frenchmen. We are Americans. We are the best hope on the planet Earth. We are the best and brightest light for liberty, for mankind's flourishing and blossoming, and we are also the best hope for standing up against the nation of China, which is a robotic Borg, mechanistic, billion-man army of zombies. Yes, there are good Chinese. Yes, there are Christian Chinese. But that communist nation is an existential threat to everything that is godly and independent, and we have to stand against it. That's why Donald Trump is standing against it. And I think He is going to be victorious. People, of course, have to play a part, and they should be supporting programs like yours, Stu, that is the only one giving the voice, the platform, the broadcast to these sort of messages and ideas. And I'm right,
well, you're doing
with
your radio.
Right on the beach.
You're doing this, too, with your radio show, Scott.
That's right. That's right. People can go to revolution.radio, revolution.radio, and they can listen to our broadcasts Wednesday and Friday, 1 to 3 p.m. Pacific. They can also go to my website, shellgamewhistleblower.com. That's shellgamewhistleblower.com. And all of our materials that we've been sharing with Sidney Powell and General Flynn and the president about the terrorist financing that Hillary Clinton and Eric Holder and Obama and Biden were doing. All of that is up there, and the president knows about it. I've been deposed and answering questions from high-level investigators from military and other units, and rest assured, Stu, it's been a week of whirlwind victories and advancements on the deep state, and that's why they're panicking so much. That's why they're desperate to attack Sidney Powell, but I think everybody's smart enough to realize the Washington Post and the New York Times are complete CIA operations. This is a CIA operation against President Trump. The servers in Germany were CIA, and it was the military that went in and got them. We've discovered all of the voting fraud and the electronic fraud, the algorithms, the Dominion and other systems that have been used in this. It goes on and on and on and on and on. But there are cases and evidence that is being presented, and it will be presented very soon. So people need to keep hope.
Scott, I ran Dominion and Smart, whatever it was, that you IPs. I left the link up there, DNSlytics.com. And you punch in the IP number, punch in a particular name, and it'll come up, and you run it from there to show what spam servers they got, or to show additional IPs hooked to that IP. It all came back to the same company. It's up on stuweb.com right now. I did send it to Sydney and send it on the websites as well, the link. But it runs back to a company called Cogeco, PSI, Inc., out of Washington, D.C., also known as, there's other names for it. It's in there. But it's the United States government's telephone system and the United States government's internet system, which is owned by a private Israeli companies. But I'm aware that Israel is tied into that system intentionally to spy against our government and government people. And that crap needs to stop, and the president needs to put a halt to that and yank that whole system and install another one. Here's the point. Dominion goes right back to Cogeco, Washington, D.C. Whoever was involved in this, in the software and algorithms, was inside the United States government and or the Israeli government doing it. Because I compared those to the ones that have been doing cyber attacks for 7 years of evidence with over 7 million felonies I have against them, Scott. And that's 10 to 20 years for each attack. And it comes out of FBI Division Number 5 here in Kansas City, out of the Jackson County Prosecutor's Office, Gene Baker. The Jackson County Prosecutor's Office, Division Number 5. Now, you remember Strzok and McCabe and all those shitheads who testified up there, and they got ramrodded hard by good guys like Jim Jordan, Nunes, DeSantis, et cetera. I mean, they pounded them, brought out the truth that they were a bunch of liars. These are the people who worked for Division Number 5, 7th floor FBI building, Washington, D.C. headquarters. And they set up these joint task force to come after patriots, people who speak the truth. Assassination attempts against me 3 different times tied to the place, and I can prove it. And I've got these cyber terrorist attacks that I can prove the servers are United States government servers. But the funny part is, it's right in the Jackson County Prosecutor's Office, Scott. Now, I got a grand jury demand. I'm the only guy in the country I'm aware of that has one, ongoing standing, ordered by a federal judge, Richard Mates, Denver, Colorado, In the event that the U.S. Attorney Henry Solano does not do his job, Mr. Webb, you can appear before the grand jury with your private attorney. Let me know, Scott, when I get the grand jury, will you? Norman Brownstein is tied to Dominion. He was on the board of directors Silverado Savings and Loan. He's the one incorporated Dominion in Denver. And he is also the one that is an APEC director, the American-Israeli Pact. He was the one that was on the board of directors of Silverado with Neil Bush laundering all the drug money from the Clintons, part of Iran-Contra. And he's on the board, or was, incorporated this, Scott. I have him in my grand jury demand. I have him for recall. If anybody can help out, like the president, Sidney Powell, or whatever, I'd be happy to present what I got and burn these bastards once and for all. But it does go to China servers. This whole network, you see it. I mean, I got a million hits off of a place called 10 Cents, folks. T-E-N-C-E-N-T-S. 10 Cents. It's got millions of IPs on the damn thing. And what they did is they used this to change the votes using servers. They were in Germany, Spain. I name where they're at, and they haven't picked it all up, but they claim Germany and Spain, China, Germany, Spain, China, Greece, Netherlands, and London, Canada. Those are the main places. And then they call B2Net right here in the United States. I mean, I've got the entire network above the net logged in my computer and on disk as backup. With that said, Scott, Trump won, didn't he?
Oh, yeah, absolutely, Trump won, overwhelmingly. You can see that on the faces of the vast majority of the people in this country. I would say 70% of the country had positive feelings and voted for Trump, or certainly didn't vote for Biden. But it was only a small percentage of this country. The retards, the castrated sexual schizophrenics, these chemically altered Frankenstein liberal leftist Antifa types, Black Lives Matter types that are out of their minds, who don't know what it means to be a man or a female. There's something in between, that don't have any understanding of character or wealth or work. We've grown these monsters, these Frankenstein retard kids up for the last 20, 30 years of pathetic poison school education, and filled them with Adderall, Ativan, lithium, all of the mental depressant drugs that you can to suppress the natural energies of boys. And you've turned them into hermaphrodite, schizophrenic, lesbian, you know, transgender things. And there's no hope for these people. There's no hope for these people. And in the sense, we always want hope. We want to have a Saul of Tarsus moment where they become Paul. But my living in my country and my vote is not going to tolerate or give any time to that. I think that generation is the one that voted against Trump because they're out of their minds. But the majority of the people in this country are of a sound mind, and they appreciate the traditions of America, the pride in America, the awakening that Donald Trump rang when he rang their bell. And the people of this country went out with flags and banners and trucks and hats, and we've never had a president who's had flags or banners before. Never. Never in the history of the United States have we had a president with banners and flags. This is the first time. And it wasn't just because of Trump. It was about people, the awakening that he inspired in them. They were ready for Trump. They had been praying for Trump, although they didn't know it at the time. And when God delivered him, and started doing, you know, good things for the nation, they reacted with violence and hostility and Ukraine gate and impeachment and COVID-19, all of the lies and all of these traitors, James Comey, Andrew McCabe, Hillary Clinton, Barack Obama, Joe Biden, Loretta Lynch, Eric Holder, Lanny Brewer, Dove Zackheim, Roger Zackheim, the law firm Covington and Burling. All of these people and parties and agencies and law firms and political actors have been complicit in treason and treachery and sedition. They're guilty of misprison of a felony, misprison of treason, sedition against the United States. They're guilty of domestic terrorism, 18 U.S. Code 2331, because they've been paying and encouraging people to engage in coercion and intimidation for political objectives. That is domestic terrorism, Stu, and you and I swore an oath as military men to defend this Constitution against all enemies, foreign and domestic. These are domestic enemies, and we answer to a higher call. We do not answer to any politician. We answer to the oath that we took before God to support and defend the Constitution, which he gave us, against all enemies, foreign and domestic. And we're fulfilling that oath, and the president knows that. And we're not backing down or afraid of any civil war or guerrilla war or anything that may arise. We're not afraid or backing down from anything like that. So I think we're going to witness the new wine being poured into the new wine skin, because people are never going back. They're never going to tolerate another Obama light or a George Bush, Dick Cheney dictatorship. They've woken up. They're never going back to sleep. And they're going to kill anybody that tries to force them back to sleep with masks and mandates and forced vaccinations. No, then you'll have a real civil war. Then you'll really see police being stupid, coming to people's doors and trying to come inside and getting shot and killed as a result. That day is coming if they're so stupid as to infringe and invade the homes and privacy of American citizens, because they'll utilize the Second Amendment to preserve their homes and privacies and families.
You know, Scott,
that day is potentially coming.
I'm in agreement with you. It's at hand. And I've been talking to a lot of people lately privately, just having conversation with them, some of them face-to-face lately. And here's the deal. Everybody's ready to go. And they said, hey, after Trump's announced to be president, or, you know, officially the president, what are they going to do? The Black Lives Matter Antifa crowd, and the Bidens and the Pelosi's and all these other pieces in the whole. Oh, they're going to stir up crap. I said, you know what? You described perfectly these children, these mental cases, these young adults, they call them. You described it perfectly. My attitude towards it is, and I'm going to ask everybody to do it. Maybe I'm committing a crime, but they start coming out in the neighborhoods to burn stuff, start it up. You shoot them in the balls, shoot them right in the crotch. We don't need to have them reproducing children with the same mindset as they have in their DNA. Therefore, shoot them in the crotch and leave them late for the cops to pick them up. I said my piece regarding that. Paul, you want to jump in there?
Yes. I want to validate the narrative so far. Very powerful, very compelling, very hopeful. I want to talk about deception and infiltration briefly. I want to ask a couple questions. For the listener's benefit, Kraken is a CIA hacking algorithm, and it has a history that goes through Venezuela and a number of other countries. And Dominion is the company that was behind the Kraken software. My research suggests that Dominion has gone missing, and one individual in particular, Eric Comer, at one point was in with Antifa and suggested that there's no way Trump's going to win. And so really I need to branch two different directions. Dominion has closed down their Denver office, no surprise there, and their Toronto office across the hall from the Soros office in Toronto. And so all of a sudden Dominion goes missing. And if either of you could comment on that as it pertains to legal proceedings. What I'm trying to lead us to is where we at in the point in time where the legal process is playing out, but because of the massive deception and infiltration that we've experienced our whole lifetimes. See, at 14 years old, I'm 63 now, I was totally blown away by the amount of deception that I encountered. It all started with the Roman Catholic Church, and of course led me to the Jesuits. And once you get your mind open to the Roman Catholic Church and the Jesuits in Rome, then you get a feel for how infiltrated we've been and for how long. And so I'm just wondering, from your guys' perspective, Dominion seems to be disappearing all of a sudden. My sources are Epoch Times, Gateway Pundit, and now, Scott, you would be my third witness. Stu, you would be my fourth. Where are we at right now in the legal process? And it seems to me that the dark side, the shadow government, they have plans. They've long written about a gray terror. I mean, actually, authors have written about a gray terror from Soviet defectors, and that gray terror then leads to an overture. And that overture, I think we know as uncivil war. And uncivil war is asymmetrical. They put the grid down. They do all sorts of things. So starting off with Dominion, what happened to Dominion? What happened to the legal process? And then how do some things play out from here?
Hello, Scott.
What I can say, and some of the stuff I can't talk about, but what I can say is, the overwhelming evidence indicates that Dominion and many of these software algorithms and companies that have been used, that have been housed in Europe, that have been involved with CIA regime change overthrows or attempted overthrows in Venezuela and other countries, Libya, Syria, on and on, has been part of a deep state preparation since the early 2000s, and John McCain was in on it, and Mitt Romney was in on it, and Barack Obama was in on it. They manipulated elections using these software companies. John McCain was famous of a statement he made to one of the cryptologists when they were having a meeting about this, and she had said, well, how don't we need to preserve the integrity of elections, for people to vote for, the representatives? And McCain's response was, quote, "We cannot have people voting for their own leaders. We have to ensure that nations are in the right hands." And she almost fell off her chair. So imagine that, John McCain, burn in hell that he may, John McCain saying, "We cannot allow people to choose their own leaders." Well, this is part of the military-industrial social media context. This is why General James Jones, and his son created Dynology Corporation. Dynology was one of the companies that invented this shadow net of computer systems and algorithms to manipulate social media on a psychological warfare information operation level. So General Jones, his son, Dynology, even Paul Manafort was connected to this. John McCain was connected to this. These companies and these systems have been in place for a long, long time, and they were caught off guard in 2016, but they conspired to make sure that this would not happen again. Specifically, Trump would not be elected. And here's the thing. They do not intend to plant Biden in as the president. He is not going to be the president of the United States. It is probably going to – not even Kamala Harris is technically qualified to be president because she was born of parents that were not American citizens. And according to the Constitution and the laws of the land, you cannot be president unless you are born by American parents. Your parents are American, at least one parent. And that's not the case in Kamala Harris. She was born in the United States. She was raised in Montreal, I think it was Canada, but she is not born to American citizen parents. So she technically is disqualified from the presidency. Now we know Barack Obama should never have been president either, and he represents one of the greatest frauds upon the country with his boyfriend Michael LaVon Robinson, who had a chemical hormone adaptive therapy and became Michelle Obama, but there's photographs of his manly parts being apparent under the dress. We remember Joan Rivers was killed after she disclosed that in the early part of the election. This is all a massive fraud on the American people. And Stu, most of the people are as dumb as a bag of rocks. They don't pay attention to this. They don't know anything. they're drunk in their own idolatry of sports or TV or mind control or whatever they're on. But few people really understand and appreciate this. Your listeners do, you do, and the guests do. But this whole manipulation of dominion and all this stuff has been going on for a long time. Now, what's going to happen now is the full exposure, the full grand jury presentations, the full military tribunals, the full military intelligence teams presenting evidence and presenting all of the briefings. And it's very well known. People who've been in the military in high-level positions have all recognized this as a scam. And we're all saying the same thing. The president swore an oath as the champion, as the defender, as the commander-in-chief to support and defend the Constitution. He cannot step down as president because there is no replacement unless he wants to step down over Pence. But, you know, here's the thing that's going to happen is there's not going to be any electoral votes. They're going to be locked up. They're going to be stopped. And then you're going to progress to the next stage that the Constitution allows for choosing a president, which is the state legislatures will vote, and the state legislatures will then send their one vote to Congress, and that will then choose the president, which is one state, one vote, and Trump is dominant in that capacity. So unless they kill off some legislatures, unless they try and bribe some Republicans or something at the last minute and try and pull off another coup that way, it would favor Donald Trump. However, anything's possible. We're no longer living in a legal constitutional republic. We are living in a small civil war moment of chaos where the left is scrambling and they're trying to drown out truthful voices. The media is on a full propaganda blitz by attacking Sidney Powell, attacking the president, inventing false claims that Joe Biden is the president-elect. The media, including Fox News, which has people closely associated with Dynology, its journalists, many of whom are married to or part of this Mockingbird industrial complex, they really have disqualified themselves. So we're also witnessing a rise of alternative media voices to provide the truth, because the mainstream media in America cannot, they will not, and we're going to watch very closely over the next month. So I'm going to be traveling back and forth and doing what I can with a team of people, but I'm very confident that at the end of the day, the president and the team around him, one of the great spokesmen I think will be General Flynn. We'll be assuming victory, and the president will once again be installed as the president of the United States. And if he needs to, the president knows he has tens of millions of bikers, of military men, of patriots, of former military, former police, of people who know how to shoot and use guns. They will ride to his side. They will protect him. They will encamp around the White House. They will do whatever needs to be done to defend him from the overthrow attempt, the coup d'etat that this Spanish Civil War, Antifa, communist Chinese domestic enemy is trying to initiate. We are not going to allow it. We're not going to back down. And this is the American wake-up call.
We are the ones we've been waiting for. The behind the scenes, Barry is still in Washington, D.C., only a couple miles away. There's some compelling research or some disturbing research to indicate that he's been building his army for a long time. I know that I'm in questioning territory where you probably can't respond as much as you'd like. That military that Barry has been developing, the fifth column, and you've got at least 300 congresspeople who are totally beholden to the Chinese, who sold out. How does this all play out here? If it appears that Joe Biden is no longer the presidential elect, then there is going to be a response, because the other side is going to, they're going to be desperate, and desperation leads deception and everything else.
Well, what they've been doing so far is been working with groups like the AFL-CIO, and that has controlled the postal union workers. And I have a document from the AFL-CIO that had been distributed to 10 of their people. And this document was a plan to engage in a five-phase overthrow of the president and the installation of Joe Biden, and taking to the streets and coordinating with Black Lives Matter and Antifa. This is what AFL-CIO was planning and doing. And the post office was again, these are crimes of treason and sedition. The post office workers that were intentionally engaged in domestic terrorism, they were also engaged in deprivation of rights under a color of law. When you take someone's ballot and nullify it with a false ballot, with a dead person's vote, or you throw out Trump votes, you are depriving Americans of their rights under color of law. So there are serious crimes that people could go to jail for 50 years when they're prosecuted. I say when. So the AFL-CIO conspiracy with the big unions has been exposed. You know, Trump and all of his people know all about it. They've got the appropriate information. There's a lot of this material that is just getting ready to be presented in court. So it's all coming. The thing is that Barack Obama and his army of retards, I don't think are going to go far at all. I think they're very desperate. They'd like to install Alexandra Ocasio-Cortez. They'd like to install her. They'd like to install perhaps Gavin Newsom. They'd like to install someone other than Kamala Harris and Joe Biden, because they have to go for broke. The left have to desperately overthrow the American government and then cover their whole crime up with cement in the hopes that people will just forget it and they'll move on and they can institute masks and shutdowns and societal enslavement using the COVID-19 thing as a excuse. And that's their bizarre thinking, but they forget the American people. When they are awoken, like the sleeping giant, they will rise and they will act a revenge and a destruction upon their attempted enslavers that the imagination cannot even contain. Just how bloody, crushing, violent, and swift the American revenge will be for all of this this falsity, these attacks, this treason that's been going on for 4 years. And people have a duty to step up there and wake people up and say, you know, I'm not looking for followers. I'm not looking for conversations with halfwits. I'm not looking to educate retards or morons that just want to continue to eat cat shit and pretend it's a donut. We're looking for people who are leaders and who have guts and are looking to get into the fight for their kids and grandkids and great-grandkids. And that's all that matters. So the enemies of a man are those of his own household. Be prepared to separate yourself from your family. Be prepared to separate yourself from your friends, because you know you cannot be unequally yoked with unbelievers. What fellowship has light with darkness? And this is the time to cut all ties with the dregs and the drains and the anchors and the chains that you know burden people with all of this idiocy and believe the mainstream media. Well, you can't, you know, look at the Washington Times, look at the New York Times, look at the Washington Post, look at Fox News, look at CNN. They can't be lying. Well, I don't want to have anything to do with people who believe like that, because they're dead zombies and they're worthless, and I don't consider them Americans. I consider the only person deserving the title American somebody who's willing to stand up and fight for their liberty and their individuality and reject everything that has an odor or a stench of political correctness or any of the other poisons that they've tried to introduce into us, including the vaccine lies. These vaccine claims are the fastest way to turn yourself into a lobotomized demoniac, and no one with a heart for God should be getting a vaccine of any kind.
Hey, the Bible talks about the mark of the beast and chip. Hey, which, you know, this is what's in this vaccination, folks. It's a credit debit chip, and there's a back, there's DNA changer in it. In other words, they're going to make us a robot. And we all hooked up. We're all hooked up to this 5G crap going on and everything, and the chemtrails. That's what people are dying of, is that, and it's lack of magnesium, potassium, zinc, and vitamin D, according to alternative doctors and nurses. If you're getting that in your body, you're liable to not get dead from the corona, so-called coronavirus. Now, Scott, I'm 100% in agreement with you, and you said a lot of stuff, and you mentioned McCain, and you mentioned China, and you mentioned a bunch of stuff. I just want to throw something at you, because I know the position you're in right now. The Chinese connection is a guy named Patrick Fong. He had Worthington Bank, make notes of it, Worthington Bank, Little Rock, Arkansas, during the Clinton years, during Iran-Contra. He was the Chinese bedroom scandal under the Lincoln, I mean, under Clinton's presidency. They call it the Lincoln bedroom scandal. Ambrose Pritchard covered everything extensively with material. My friend, Terry Reed, Tatum's, Al Martin's, Bill McCoy, former Pentagon investigator. That book, as I recall, is full of Patrick Fong. You might want to pass it to your buddies if you come across that Chinese connection, intelligence connection. Worthington Bank, Little Rock, Arkansas, tied to BCCI, the Bank of Credit and Commerce International. But that said, I want to bring Jeff and Heidi both into the program. And Scott, these people are warriors. Oh, my God, they're warriors. They're patriots, they're Christian warriors. And I had the honor to have them come and have dinner with me and put some steaks on the grill, which they brought. Oh, these people are great. You talk about Christians. You talk about battle warriors. Oh, thank God I know people like this. That said, Jeff, Heidi, who wants to go first with questions for Scott's sake?
Yeah, Scott. Hey, Jeff here. Yeah, curious. You know, you guys have mentioned several things. There's a lot of construction in the White House that was being done when Obama was there. And I remember hearing and reading about vans that would pull in, and they would have magnetic backing. You know, they'd just basically be white vans. But a lot of construction that went on in the White House, and there was a lot of apparent tunneling that was done. I don't know if this coincides with a billion rounds of hollow point ammunition, if it has anything to do with the arming of all the three-letter agencies and the like. But it seems like that was the move at that point in time to prepare and arm themselves for what apparently they foreshadow or foresaw coming. And where are we at with that? Is that something that you can speak to or dispel? I know I spent a little time just following that whole thing, and it was kind of fascinating to me that the amount of effort that took place to do that, to pull that off, and even having, I believe it was the postal or the forestry industry, game and parks type places that would be armed with 12-gauge shotguns and this kind of thing. What do you know about that?
Well, you know, can you be specific about exactly what you're looking for?
Yeah, I guess, you know, it seems like to me this is something we're kind of coming into this this pinnacle of or apex of unrest, civil unrest, and where we're at with it, and knowing our enemy.
Yeah.
And this to me, when you throw in Antifa, when you throw in Black Lives Matter, you know, these shadow entities that are certainly part of the big picture, how well prepared are they, in effect, to face maybe an armed society that's going to disagree with them fundamentally just about on everything?
Well, you know, it's a good point. See, the thing is, we as conservatives, as Christians, as traditionalists, as Americans, have everything to lose, and therefore we fight like our lives and our families depend on it, because they do. So you never pick a fight with someone who's got nothing to lose. We've got nothing to lose. If they want to pick a fight with us, we'll fight to the death. That's a natural instinct that will kick in. They're not prepared for that. They don't understand that. They don't have the love of family and God and anything. They have a lobotomized existence that is based on a political religion of power and desperate to escape their own sin through the cloak and masquerade of power. So they're operating on a totally different frequency. We're FM, they're AM. The full difference is very stark. They're walking dead also. I would consider them walking dead people that have had their brains permanently altered with chemical legal drugs and medications for when they were at school and elsewhere. The leftist personality profile we deconstructed is riddled with the cancers of divorce, homosexuality, perversion, intoxication, ignorance. They don't think, they're not critical thinking people or analytical thinking. They're regurgitating Frankenstein-type monster zombies, and they're just not equipped. They may get guns and do some crazy things and ram their cars into stores and light themselves on fire. I think we're going to see a lot of self-annihilation of the left to try and traumatize the right. And as incredibly insane as it sounds, these people are incredibly insane. So that means when you see a leftist Antifa type standing in the street, hitting himself in the head with a hammer, saying, "You have to vote for Biden or else I'm going to hit myself in the head with a hammer until I die," that's laughable to us, but it is as real and normal and natural to them as, the devil ruling heaven. It's out there. But that's what they honestly believe, is this insanity that they can traumatize and bully and push traditional Christian Americans into destroying themselves, enslaving themselves out of some perverse, misguided understanding of reality and understanding of themselves. So I don't have any faith. I don't see them as a threat, because it's like a Chihuahua dog, one of those little tiny Chihuahua dogs that's lost the power of its hind legs and is in one of these little wheel carts. You see those old dogs in the little wheel carts because they can't walk. Well, that's how I see Antifa and Black Lives Matter. They're a bunch of half-wit retard Chihuahua dogs in these wheel carts, and they're laughable. Now, the other thing is to remember that you have a lot of good black people in this country, a lot of good Hispanic people. All the Asians are good on our side, the Vietnamese, the Chinese Christians. The Hindus and the Sikhs are on our side because they're traditional people too. They may not be Christians, but I don't care about that in a political sense, because the enemy of my enemy is my friend. So we have for too long allowed the Democrats to hijack the Vietnamese and the Hindu and the Sikh and the Slavics and the Mexicans and the blacks and say, "The white man is your enemy, vote Democrat." Well, the fact is, these people are finally waking up that the Democrat vote is a vote for hysteria, witches, lesbianism, homosexuality, perversion, environmental fanaticism, and every other evil under the sun. And these people don't want that. They don't like that. They escape communism and these dictatorships, and they don't want to go back to it under the Democrat Party. That's why they voted for Trump. Not a Republican, but they voted for Trump. There's a big difference, because the Republican Party has failed. I wouldn't shed a tear, and I've been a Republican all my life, but I wouldn't shed a tear if the entire Republican Party imploded and something new came out of it. Mm-hmm. The American Renaissance Party, the Integrity Party, whatever it is. Mm-hmm. But this paradigm shift that has been moved because of Trump is not going away. We are only going to get more and more people wake up, and the left is going to descend into madness. And that is the key takeaway. The left wing in this country, by the grace of God, will descend into a madness like Nebuchadnezzar going mad and eating grass for 7 years. And only they won't recover from eating the grass. You may have some prodigal sons that come to the light, but for the most part, the devil's own, because of the evil that they're doing, they're receiving the sin and the evil into their own being, so they're becoming worse and worse. And those who are waking up are, I think, going to get brighter and brighter. So we shouldn't look at them as people to be afraid of, but we should be recognizing that the black people and the Hispanic people, they have no fellowship with that darkness. The Black Lives Matter group has been formed by a couple of fat lesbian black women. They're not pro-family values. And let me tell you something. All the blacks that I ever worked with in the military and the government, they are family value, conservative, God-fearing people. And I will not surrender the black race to this dominant Democrat slave state. I step up and protect them just like I protect all other races of men that are on the side of God. It's like saying, Moses, who's on the Lord's side? Stand over here. And I want all tribes and every tongue and every genetic disposition to come to this side. And those who don't, you know, they are vessels of wrath for destruction, and their names have been not written in the Lamb's Book of Life since the beginning of the world. And it's not for me to decide. That's God's business. But we are not going to let them destroy the heritage that God has given us. And again, sometimes we are called to be warriors and to stand up and fight and defend, so that we in that moment of adrenaline, we recognize and see the hand of our Heavenly Father lifting us up. I've had miraculous moments since I've been out in Washington where my Father in Heaven has tipped his hand and let me know in a very subtle way I'm at the right time in the right place at exactly the right moment, and have been through the guts of the deep state, having had them throw me in jail because I was reporting on the bad things that they were doing. It's made me all the more valiant of a fighter and an impregnable heart when it comes to these sort of combat situations in the political frame.
Scott, I think one of the questions Jeff had was about these lettered agencies, you know, FBI, all of them, they got billion rounds stored up and stuff like that. Jeff, I think yeah. I think Scott answered it, but yeah, the government's got that. Will they use it against the people? No. Here's what I was told by Otis Johnson, Super Spook. He told me, Stu, he says, if you could ever get the people to rise, he says, to arrest their asses, he says, the military would stand down. He says, because 8 out of 10 at the lower end are going to say, screw you. I'm not turning on the American people. I took an oath of office, or an oath like Scott and I both did as ex-military. Now, he said, they won't do it. He said, what's going to happen is they're going to take out the top leadership of the military because it's corrupt as fuck. He said, that's what's going to happen. They're going to arrest their own. They're going to dispose of them. He said,
the other 8 out of 10
will not go against the American people. So you're going to see the cops, the dirty cops, the dirty FBI so infiltrated. Oh, my God. All the way in the top echelon, the Justice Department. You're going to see a house cleansing. And this all goes down, they're going to be running for cover. I'll tell you, they're not going to come out to pulling their guns out. If they do, they're going to get their heads blown off. That's what's going to happen. So, you know, I don't think we have to worry about
this. I would say this, too. I would say what you described is exactly what would happen. If I had a colonel or a general say, gentlemen, we are turning, the president of the United States needs to be taken out, and we're going to do that, I would be the first one to stand up and pull my 9mm out or pull my knife out and go right at that officer and say, you are under arrest for sedition and treason against the commander-in-chief of the United States. And I wouldn't be opposed to cutting his throat or putting a bullet in his head right at that moment, because he was what George Washington described, was committing treason right then and there by his statement undermining the authority of the president of the United States. And that's what you described, Stu, will happen. Junior officers, captains, lieutenants will say, you are in violation of your oath to the president and to the armed forces of the United States. You are not an authority. You are no longer an officer. You're under arrest. And that's where the real power and the change in the military will come. And they are there. The junior officers are there. They will not take orders from a bunch of effeminate ice cream cone pedophiles like Vindman and all the rest of them. They will stand up on the side of the president, and you could have a bloodletting and an Operation Valkyrie in the Pentagon like we've never had before and that we need desperately. And that's the operation of the day, Operation Valkyrie in the Pentagon.
You know, Scott, I was trained not to bring prisoners to Marine Corps. Let somebody else take the name. Let somebody else take the dead body's name. If I go unleashed, I'm not bringing back prisoners unless I've got a place to take them. I mean, that's the way it's going to be.
I'd say stand against that wall, sir. You are now guilty of treason against the President of the United States, and you will be executed accordingly.
Hey,
there
guys, we're approaching, we're almost approaching 50 minutes.
And I want we could go over a little bit on this, and I can convert it, so don't have a problem, because I want Heidi to get in here, and I want Jeff to get in there with additional questions, and you, Paul. So Heidi, you got anything? Jeff? Either one of you?
Yeah, Heidi's sitting here. Heidi, do you have something?
You know, I don't know if it's so much a question. Just more, Scott, I was completely, I feel like I'm heading off to a rally. You did such a great job of truly sharing a clear picture of what our response as U.S. citizens needs to be. And quite honestly, I'm a part of a couple of different groups right here in Lincoln, Nebraska, one of which is recalling our Democrat-led mayor and four of our local city council members. And because of these, what they are doing, they're exercising the same draconian measures that are being, cast out all over the world. But one of the things that I really appreciate is being able to do anything on a grassroots level. And what is happening is we are motivating other people and other cities to do the same thing. And it's going to be an infection, all right. It's going to be a great infection, one where people are going to see the lead that we are demonstrating. And we're a bunch of people made up, we're groups made up of people that are not going to just stand around and wonder, oh, well, what's going to happen next? We can't. It's time to take action. And my hope is that this becomes the great infection for change. And it is absolutely, categorically, just like you said, it has to be bathed in prayer, because we can be willing servants, but without petitioning our Lord and Savior to multiply the action, it's, and without being in His will, which we are, I firmly believe we are in His will, trying to awaken the masses to what is coming, and the absolute demise of any, like you said, God-given freedom, and we are not going to stand for this anymore. My hope is that we can do this without having to go into a bloodbath, but we all know if that's what we're called to do, we as Christians, as Christ followers, we will do it.
Yeah, amen. I mean, let me tell you something, too. Women have an extraordinarily important role in this, because they have the mama bear defending their cubs, adrenaline, energy. Women have been made by God as no-nonsense creations. They have a spiritual, intuitive strength that no men have. And women in particular have been victimized by leftism and feminism and homosexuality and the divorce and breakup of family culture for the past 40, 50 years. Women have suffered more under modernity's forced change than at any other time in history. And they are thirsting and hungry for traditional men and male leadership and family values and the greatness. Women raise men and elevate men's greatness. And degenerate men hurt and degenerate women. So the few that are out there, the few good women that are out there, and I think you're one of the best ones, they need to stand up and kind of be the sounding board, be the Lysistratas, if you will, be the Lady Liberty to hold up the beacon and say, we as women are not going to tolerate this. And you will find a lot of the men who have been browbeaten and they're sort of shy or they're intimidated by political correctness because they've been beaten up for so long. I think you'll have an awakening in men. You'll have a sense of straightening their posture and a return to what manly virtue is. It's been buried for a long time, But women can play an extraordinarily powerful role in this revolution, because they can say, I should say revival, because they can say, where are the men? We want to see men out there doing what only men can do, and we as the women of this country are calling you out, and if you don't stand up, then shame on you, you're not a man. And
yeah.
Women can do that, and no other being can do that. Women can have an enormously motivating capability that they are the wind in men's sails. So we all need to come together in our own particular battle roles and complement each other, and have Asians, blacks, Hindus, females, whites, all sort of holding hands in a sense, saying, you will not break this chain that is built on love of country, love of God, love of family, love of freedom, to be the best human beings that God calls us to be. You can't do this in any other country, and they're trying to destroy it in order to make us one globalist glob of Chinese lobotomized, social credit controlled automatons. If we don't stand up, no one will. And if women won't stand up and call men out, then I fear because
Scott, we've got good news. We got good news regarding that. I've talked to a few listeners. You know, they call me different ones, time give me information. One of them, her husband and her son actually voted for Biden. He wished now he voted for Trump. She's very patriotic, but the other two aren't. And it's been a divided household because of that for a long time. Now all of a sudden they're yelling and screaming, Trump won, and that we need to go lynch him. The husbands are waking up in some cases, relatives.
I think so, and I echo what Scott said, because quite honestly, that has been the case. Men have been browbeaten into submission, like you said, and that is one thing I will say, raising two men, I plain and simple, I wanted warriors. I wanted to build and help mold and shape Christ-following warrior young men. And I'll tell you what, my oldest son, man, he exemplifies that. And the thing is, like you said, Scott, I can't tell you how many men have reached out to me and said, thank you for speaking up. Because it is, us strong women, we want thinking stronger men. We want men who are willing to go into battle, to get bloodied, to be willing to sacrifice everything for our families, our freedoms, our country. But we, as strong women, we're going to be right there next to them. We are going to be launching them. We're going to be encouraging them. We're going to be elevating them, building them up all along the way. Us conservative women, we're done with the thought police, the word police, female women that are, the left, just crazy left-minded. We're done. We're done with them. And I've called them out. They try to come after me. They can't do it. They can't intimidate me because, like you guys have said, I will not be intimidated. Those days are done. I'm not going to be intimidated by anyone. And by gosh, by golly, getting out and trying to recall a mayor, I've been flipped off. I've been, verbally accosted. And I've had plenty of practice of that in the past as well, in terms of, whenever you speak up against evil, you'll wind up getting lots of negative arrows thrust in your direction. But you know what? When people do that, it only motivates me more. So really, it does. When people are evil or disrespectful, it literally motivates me even more. So if they were really smart, they'd just keep their mouths shut.
That's right.
But Scott, what a pleasure it has been, quite honestly, to be on this show with you. Boy, I can tell you have a heart for the Lord, and what an honor and privilege it is to get to be a part of this incredible stellar group of men, you know, to be a woman and sharing a female perspective. I really appreciate this opportunity.
Well, I'm honored to have you with us.
Paul, Scott?
Yes, I have a couple of concrete questions. One, will Trump use the Insurrection Act? Will he be forced to invoke the Insurrection Act? And what sort of timing would you project that he would do that?
You know, I think it's going to take the course of a natural the evolution of the constitutional process of electing that's probably going to go to January. And at that point, he's going to declare that there's so much fraud that's been exposed. And the courts are the Justice Department, really, the courts are the people's opportunity to hear and see all the evidence presented by the president to say, these people have engaged in fraud and crimes against the Constitution, and I'm putting it in front of the courts to agree with me. But at the same time, as president, he can declare a national emergency, and it's his role as the commander-in-chief not to let a coup d'etat or domestic enemy falsify votes for the purposes of overthrowing an the people's president for a Chinese agent. So he very well could declare an Insurrection Act, but it wouldn't be martial law kind of a thing. It would be just – and he already did declare a national emergency months ago because of these sort of things. So things are already there. But the left, if they behave, you know, very, very self-destructively, I don't think it's federal forces that will be needing to be brought out. I think it will be grassroots and state forces. So he may or may not, but people are counseling against it just because of the optics and the mainstream media. But I think he's going to win without any of that.
When it comes to Rudy Giuliani, Sidney Powell, it appears there's been a bifurcation, a separation between the two of them. It's difficult for me to believe that Rudy Giuliani is trustworthy, that he has changed his spots, that his stripes are no longer there. He was sweating profusely. Maybe that's just his nature. Can Rudy be trusted? And what do you make of the separation between Sidney Powell and Rudy Giuliani? Sidney Powell supposedly going home.
I won't comment too much about that. I'll just simply say Trump is really the only focus point that we need to have. We need to keep everybody accountable and working for the president. Let me say this. If anyone undermined the president with bad performance or bad legal decisions or bad legal arguments or did anything that the public could perceive as intentionally undermining the president, they would be the first to be executed by the public when the Civil War really kicks in. So Trump knows that. Trump is in it for the long haul. He said it. He is not going to surrender. He's not going to back down. He is not going to abandon his post. And I think Sidney Powell has done a very good job. I do not agree with the mainstream media saying there's a bifurcation, there's a split. A lot of that is a psyop. A lot of that is intended. It's something that, you know, we should rest confidently that the president's legal arguments are the only ones that matter, regardless of who delivers it. A lot of people do have a lot of bad baggage from the past. I never trust anyone. But at the end of the day, Trump's life is on the line, and his family, his children, his wife, his grandchildren, their lives are on the line because the left will kill them all like the Tsar's family in 1910 or whenever it was at the 1907 when the Red Army or the Red Revolution Bolsheviks took over. Trump realizes that. Everybody realizes that. They will kill him if they remove him. They will never allow another president to be a Republican to be president again. So this is an active attempt to overthrow the United States government in a passive-aggressive, vote-stealing way with the implied threat that if you don't go this way, we're going to unleash the left Antifa lunatics to exact vengeance? And my answer is, great, let them come, because they'll never come back. You send them in to conservative neighborhoods, they're never coming out again. And you're going to have a lot of gardens mysteriously watered with some interesting fertilizer.
Scott, Johnson County, Kansas, across the state line from me, Paul knows it well, he was a principal or in school district, County Mission. Now, Johnson County at one time, I think, was the seventh richest county per capita in the nation. Now it's down to about 15 or something. It's about 100 grand combined income a year. Black Lives Matter goes to the police department with a bullhorn at 9 o'clock, starting yelling and screaming. They had about a dozen or 18 of them. Then they take their bullhorns and they go out to the neighborhood not far from the police department. Now, these are, you know, 2,000 square foot house, 2,200 square foot. They go through the neighborhood with the bullhorns going. The men came out with guns pointing at the ground, holding rifles in the air and shotguns. Didn't point them at them. I told them they were disturbing their peace while their wives were videotaping them. And they called the police, and they arrested them for disturbing the peace, folks. They complained. It's called citizen's arrest complaint. Cops come. They had to sign off on it. That's what they did in Johnson County. Now, that was about 6 months ago. We're going to see a lot of that happen without bloodshed, if necessary. But if they start burning cities, I say blow the private parts off, because I don't want them reproducing in that cases. We don't want that in future society. Paul, go ahead. You got anything else?
Your background in psychological warfare, sometimes we all have blind spots, and you really do share a convincing, compelling narrative, and it's a fire hydrant of clarity. What are we missing? Is there anything on the other side that we're blind to? To close us out here today, what would you suggest that we might be overlooking, or to also consider other than what you've indicated so far?
Well, I just recently put up an article on Sputnik, which is a Russian news media company. And to have my articles up there, which are unabashedly conservative, pro-Trump, tells me that Sputnik is unabashedly pro-Trump. You can't do that in the mainstream media. And I'm also on Press TV, the Iranian news media, quite a lot. And I'm unabashedly conservative and pro-Trump and Christian. And the Iranian news media never alters my statements at all. So they have me on Russian media and Iranian media telling the truth, and I'm not a cheerleader for Trump. I do criticize him with some of these things, like the backing of the Israeli operations that could try and lead us into war and push us into war for Netanyahu's future. I'm not about that. I've been to war, and I don't want wars to be used again unless they are in the American interests. Not Netanyahu's odin and on expansionary plan interest. But to have me and my articles and such up there tells me the Russians are not against Trump at all. And really, the Iranians aren't. They're just very nervous. And this assassination by the Israelis of their scientists, I think, is an attempt to try and trigger Trump into a conflict, to goad him into getting in trouble. But I hope and pray Trump does not take any action, and that the Iranians certainly don't take any action. But the Israeli operations are always problematic for Americans, because they're grotesquely provocative, and they're also very, very deceitful. So I think that's one of the blind spots that we need to keep open, is that Russia is not an enemy of the United States, and not even Iran is an enemy. And other people like Senator Dick Black have said that extensively. And I would say the other thing is one of the other blind spots is this notion that we are subservient to these governors that are issuing orders to stay at home and stay locked down and keep your masks on. Those are unconstitutional orders, and they do not have any power of law. So when Cuomo and these governors like Newsom and Whitmer and others start threatening people with fines and threatening to do things, you simply have to affirm your rights under the Constitution and say, no governor can tell me I have to shut down my business or stay at home or wear a mask. Now, when you go to Costco or a restaurant, they always say, put on your mask. Well, you know, sometimes it's easier to put it on so you can get your groceries and get out and say, you know, screw it, because they're private companies. But no police officer or government worker can come to your home or your business and force you to do any change, because the Constitution gives you and recognizes your right to be free, and you're innocent until proven guilty. That's due process, and that means you're healthy until you're proven unhealthy by due process. And no one should allow the government to say you're unhealthy, so you have to wear a mask. No, I have a right, and you can't accuse me of being unhealthy without due process. And nobody should ever get a test. Do not take any kind of a test for this COVID-19 bull, and do not ever get a vaccine for that. So those are important things to keep in mind.
Well said.
Anybody have any questions for Scott before we end this? Heidi, Jeff?
Heidi, do you have another question for Scott? Then she might.
Yeah, I do. And I want some clarification, Scott, about what you just said in terms of, I think one of the questions that I get so often is how to stand up against the mandates. So, for instance, our local businesses, small businesses, what, based on what you just shared, are you saying that the best approach is for them to say, just say no? If the police
well, the
are
best,
called out,
the,
or?
The best approach is to affirm your rights under the constitutional deprivation of rights under color of law. There's a statute called 18 U.S. Code 241 and 242, and that says, any government official, any police officer or government official of any kind, of any agency, that tries to deprive you of your rights, deprive you of your right to assemble, of your right to worship, of your right to travel, of your right to be free and exercise your liberty, any attempt to deprive you of your rights, to keep you at home or anything, is committing a crime under 18 U.S. Code 241. And if they conspire, like there's two or more persons, two police officers or a police officer and a health officer, they're conspiring, so they're guilty of 242 as well. And they can be sued civilly for under the statute 42 U.S.C. 1985, suing them for violating your civil rights. So people should always reference the law and say, this very important sentence, when someone knocks on the door and comes to you or says something to you, you raise your hand and you say, be advised, you are hereby served legal notice of 18 U.S. Code 241, Code 242, and 42 U.S. Code 1985 will be cited against you in criminal and civil legal action. You are being given notice. I am recording this with my phone or other camera. I'm recording it for court. I do not talk to you. I do not listen to you. I do not accept any of your instructions, whatever. You have anything to say to me, you can leave a card, and my attorney will be in contact. But you have nothing to say to me, and I affirm all of my rights under 18 U.S. Code 241 and 242 and 42 U.S.C. 1985. And if you violate or harass, you will be sued in a court of law. I'm giving you notice right now. That's a very important thing for people to say. And we're coming to a point where, you know, people are given a choice. Either you shut down your business, limit your people in your restaurants or something like that, or you stand up against it. There's already companies that are ripping up the fines that they're giving because they have no power of law. You can't give someone a fine for exercising their constitutionally protected rights. There is no law that's been passed by a state legislature that is constitutionally sound, and any law that runs afoul of the federal constitution is not a law, but there's no law that's been passed that mandates the shutdown or the control of people. The governor has executed an executive order, but it's not law, and you do not have to obey that order. But people need to be educated in the Constitution, and lawyers, sadly, are not necessarily championing that. We've met with many, many lawyers and talked about it ad nauseum, but that's something that people should recognize is their constitutional rights under 18 U.S. Code 241 and 242.
Okay.
Scott, Jim Rothstein, who's former New York cop, exposed finders to CIA trafficking in children. And he was the New York cop, tried to put a stop to it. He's quite aware of a lot of stuff, including Michael Ricciardo and Henslow and the whole bit, illegally arrested, the Gunderson setup. The point is, he's a mayor up there north of where you're at, Paul.
St. Cloud, Minnesota.
Yeah. He's a mayor. And, you know, people came to him and said, hey, we're not going to put up this lockdown anymore. He said, well, I didn't lock you down. Well, I mean, you know, your businesses can't open. He said, I didn't say that. He said, I'm not going to violate your constitutional rights. Opened up the businesses. So this was a while back when lockdown all over was happening. So this is what other public officials need to be doing. Hey, so.
Well, Stu, listen, it's been an honor to be with you. I've got to run to a meeting, though, so I'm going to take my leave of you. And
I got it. Before we leave, someone want to take this to prayer? Because, I mean, we're all prayer warriors. Who wants to leave? Heidi, you want to go?
She just ran upstairs.
Oh, okay. Okay. Jeff?
Yeah, you bet. Sure. I'll leave in prayer, you bet. Heavenly Father, thank you for the day, and thank you for the time committed today, and the wisdom of these gentlemen and Heidi that are here. And, you know, all things good are given from above. And you have certainly given wisdom. You've helped us to understand ourselves and what we can do in a better way to not be defenseless. You do not want us to be cowards. And I thank you for the encouragement and the strength that just comes off of this just this meeting with these gentlemen and how firm a grip they have on the understanding of who and what we are to be amidst a crooked and perverse generation. And you tell us that we're surrounded by such, and we certainly know they are. And the subtleties of the enemy, the subtleties of Satan are becoming more evident, and they're less subtle all the time now. He's rehearsed this battle many times over the centuries with people and just human nature. But God, let us be wise. Let us be as wise as the serpent, that we know how to combat and know how to defend who we are spiritually. Let the listeners also be prayer warriors. Bend to our knees, Father. Wear our jeans out, our knee pads out. This is not the time to retreat, but to move forward. We pray for your protection upon all of us. We pray for your wisdom to be generously given. We are in abundant need of heavenly knowledge to survive. This is not for the timid. We ask that you would do all these things in Christ's name, through your shed blood, protect us all, and again, put a hedge of protection around Scott and Stu and Paul, as they are frontline people, and there is certainly a need for their protection, and they're taking the battle to the enemy, and they are not running the other direction. So we praise you for that. Thank you for this time, and we commit it to you to be used by you. In your name, amen.
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 That's it. Thank you, Scott, very much. Scott Bennett. Thank you, Paul.
Thank you, gentlemen. Thank you.
Thank you, Heidi.
Thank you. God bless you all, and so honored to get to go to battle with you warriors.
All right. Thank you all.